and welcome to the Statoil Hydro 2009 strategy update. My name is Lars Sørensen, and I'm Head of Investor Relations. Let's just take one minute on your safety here at East Wintergarden in London. In the event of an emergency, we've got four exits in this room, two behind me and two behind you where you came in. If the alarm goes, I'll ask you to leave calmly but instantly. Assembly point is just outside, across the road on the square, in front of the entrance of the conference center here. 8:00 A.M. this morning, Central European Time, or 7:00 A.M. U.K. time, presentations, press release, and stock market announcement were made available on the internet and through the Oslo Stock Exchange. It was sent to wires, and it can be downloaded from our website, statoilhydro.com. I'd like to draw your attention to the first page of the presentation set, which is the disclaimer, talking about the non-GAAP measures and forward-looking statements that we will use during the presentation today. Today's presentation will be held by our President and Chief Executive, Helge Lund, and the Chief Financial Officer, Eldar Sætre. After the presentation, we'll have a Q&A session, and the questions can be asked from the audience here in London, but it can also be asked via the internet. That makes me that makes a perfect opportunity to welcome the audience on the internet for following this via webcast. You can ask questions by pressing the submit button on your screen, and the questions will be sent to the laptop here, and I will read them aloud on your behalf during the Q&A session after the presentations. The Q&A is already open, so you may send in questions already now and during the two presentations that we're going to hear now.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to our capital market update for 2009. I think we can easily agree that the world has changed dramatically since we met last year in London, exactly 1 year ago. At that time, we had seen several years of economic growth. Now, we find ourselves in a rather difficult economic situation worldwide. At that time, we saw $90 per barrel and rising. Now, the prices are half that and with considerable uncertainty where the prices are moving forward, at least in the short run. The objective that I and we have today is to demonstrate to you how we are taking action to maneuver through the current turmoil. And beyond that main message, we will confirm to you that our long-term strategy remains firm and the direction is unchanged. We will also communicate that we put great emphasis in steering the company in a way where we keep financial flexibility throughout this period, and we strongly also commit to the dividend policy of Statoil Hydro. I would also like to state in the beginning that I feel that our position to tackle the turmoil is strong, and also that I have the levers I need to steer through this rather difficult period. Moving then to look a little bit at the environment, I think we can conclude, all of us, that our industry is no exception. We are impacted by what we see in the environment, and there are several factors that are coinciding and reinforcing each other. The collapsing oil price is heavily affecting cash flow and earnings. Costs and investment programs are at historic high levels after many years of high activity, and access to cash is tightened due to the meltdown in the financial sector. All of that, I think, lead to a situation where we can conclude easily that the industry risk is on the rise. The economic downturn implies lower energy demand and therefore also, at least in the short term, consequently lower prices. It's fair to conclude also that we face a situation that very few predicted, but many now can explain in a very good way. It is more profound than most of us have been able to plan for, and the fundamental challenge, I think, for Statoil Hydro and most other companies is to find the right balance between keeping short-term financial flexibility and building for the long term and for the future. The economic recession has impacted the oil price in several ways, and the price has, as you know, dropped by more than 60% since the peak in July. We have seen significant impact on demand in important markets like the U.S. as well as in Asia. We have seen many financial investors leaving the market and reduce their exposure to oil, and the market psychology has been reversed. And it seems that the concern of supply shortages in the short term is now more or less replaced with a risk for oversupply. Short term, therefore, we regard the oil price development as highly uncertain. It will, to a large extent, be determined by the length and the depth of the economic downturn, and also how OPEC is responding. In our thinking, we plan for prices around today's level, but are also prepared for considerable downsides and continued volatility. This short-term turbulence and uncertainty, however, does not change our long-term view. Our analysis does not suggest a need for change in strategic direction. We believe that once the global economy recuperates, the world will again find itself in a situation where energy supply will struggle to keep up with the demand. The reason being that we will continue to face restrained access. We will continue to face high complexity in our projects. The political risk will continue to be there, and we will see limited capacity and also physical constraints, all being barriers that we need to overcome in order to react with new supplies to the market. Therefore, and on this basis, in the long term, we believe in the tight oil market. So how are we positioned, and how are we positioning ourselves for the current turmoil? And we are prepared to meet the new realities and the turmoil that we are seeing around us. We have a very strong financial position as a starting point and a robust portfolio. On that basis, we have the strength as a company to handle the situation in a good way, but we will not continue as if nothing has happened. We have already taken actions that are factored into our 2009 plan, and we have additional measures that we would like to implement if things get worse than it is today. A downturn also gives opportunity to shift focus and to drive improvement internally. And I will use the situation in exact that way in Statoil Hydro. We will optimize our schedules, plans, and priorities. we will, in an even more forceful way, target costs and improved quality and efficiency, not only in Statoil Hydro, but also in collaboration with our suppliers. In fact, my view is that in times of uncertainty, our best protection is to deliver strong operational performance, and I hope you agree. We will therefore use all the levers we have at our disposal, but we are not pulling the handbrake. We are looking for opportunities that can strengthen our company and create shareholder value. However, having access to almost 9 billion barrels of oil and gas resources since 2005 through successful exploration and targeted business development, our priority first and foremost is to mature and develop that resource base in an efficient and also prudent way. Let me address our response in a little bit more detail and start with operational performance. Hopefully, all of you that were here last year recall that we put a lot of emphasis on delivering and improving operational performance when we met here last year. We can today conclude that we are delivering on the performance metrics and the guidance that we provided last year at our full Capital Markets Day here in London. We will deliver on our production guiding for 2008 and also delivering that production at very competitive production costs. We have to date captured 50% of the merger synergies, and the remaining 50%, most of that will be captured in 2009. We have added more than 800 million barrels of new resources through exploration and at a low finding cost. Furthermore, we have improved in the two critical areas we focused on last year in terms of drilling efficiency, as well as implemented more effective and better planned turnarounds. Over and above that, you will see that we continue to deliver a highly competitive return on capital employed. In parallel with these deliveries, we have executed a large and very complex merger. A completely new organization is designed and implemented. Some 10,000 people have moved into new positions, and right now we are executing the final part of the integration process onshore at our operational facilities, as well as at all of the operational facilities offshore. And I think it's prudent also today to compliment our people that have not only delivered the complex merger, but also delivered on the targets that we put forward to you last year. The objective of the final part of the integration process is to standardize our working processes offshore and at our onshore facilities in order to improve efficiency and flexibility, to share in a better way best practices across our operational facilities, and finally also to increase safety and reliability. I have always looked at the merger as a major catalyst to improve operational performance, and I think we now see that we are using the merger in exactly that way, and it will provide additional synergies and improvement potential also in 2009 and beyond. Looking at our portfolio, and we will review that a little bit more in detail later today, but I think it is particularly in challenging times that we see the real advantages of having a robust portfolio. This picture illustrates that our portfolio has many beneficial properties. Low production unit costs secures strong cash flow from our producing assets. A robust portfolio of sanctioned projects adds short-term production at competitive costs, and a very large portfolio of non-sanctioned projects with high flexibility gives us also freedom to choose when we want to capitalize on these opportunities in the best way for our shareholders. So we are adjusting, and we will continue to adjust to the market development going forward to retain our financial strength and at the same time maximizing the value of our projects. In 2009, we have already adjusted our investment program to the new situation. Some projects are delayed from the original plan, others are being evaluated. And we have undertaken new cost reduction initiatives beyond the merger benefit in order to be more competitive. Eldar will deal with this later in his presentation in more detail. On exploration, we continue to believe and we continue to develop the company on the basis that we believe exploration is the primary growth tool for Statoil Hydro moving forward. We are still on the high level, as you see here, but our exploration expenditure is taken down from last year. The merger has given us the opportunity to high-grade the exploration portfolio the two companies had, and I think our exploration results in 2008 document that we captured the merger benefits also in this area. A strong portfolio of prospects will be drilled in 2009, and I can confirm that we have secured rig capacity at competitive rates for all of these wells. A key feature of Statoil Hydro since the listing in 2001 is that we have had production growth year on year since that time. Our planned NCS production in 2009 is at all-time high, and our international production has increased over 65% since 2004. In 2009, we will grow our production from the 2008 level to 1.95 million barrels per day in equity terms. And we will grow in both equity as well as entitlement terms. Looking beyond 2009 for 2012, today we confirm the target that we presented last year on 2.2 million barrels per day. A high-quality portfolio of sanctioned projects underpin the growth towards 2012, further strengthened by the acquisitions that we made last year, and that is also increasing our confidence that we will reach that number. However, given the global economic turmoil and the uncertainty that I've already dealt with, we will not raise the 2012 target. I talked about exploration already. Let me go a little bit more in detail. And just opening by saying that the exploration results in 2008 is encouraging. And I think it proves that our exploration strategy is working. We have completed 79 wells with a success rate of 60%, and we have gained access to 76 new licenses moving forward. The North Sea still holds a high yet to find potential after decades of exploration and production. The developed infrastructure allows fast-track development from discovery to production, also with high profitability. And I would say that persistence and also creativity of our geologists has proved considerable resources in this area in 2008. And I think the two most prominent examples are the two discoveries that we made last year in this area, Dagny and Ermintrude, two rather strange Norwegian names. But those were identified or discovered in the area close to Sleipner, one of the most explored areas in the North Sea. And I think that is positive because it still shows that with new technology, new concepts, and even better geologists, we can find new resources even in these areas. These two discoveries combined have a potential of roughly 200 million barrels. In the deep waters of the Norwegian Sea, we have proved a set of moderate-sized gas discoveries. This is in a completely different area, it's frontier, with limited infrastructure. But with these new discoveries, we are getting closer to possible development in this area. More drilling needs to be done, more technical work, but I hope that these resources could support our gas supplies to Europe, and we believe that that gas will be welcome with our clients and customers. Finally, on this note, Gulf of Mexico has developed into Statoil Hydro's, one of Statoil Hydro's most important areas internationally. We are currently the fourth largest deepwater license holder and have an equity interest in six of the largest deepwater discoveries made in recent years. And we expect to continue to develop and grow our Gulf of Mexico business going forward. And the growth and the development is underpinned by several promising projects and discoveries that you know about: the Tahiti field, the Julia, Jack, and Caesar, and more. Turning to resources, we have over the last years actively built a much stronger resource base. All in all, we now hold approximately 20 billion barrels in our resource bank. Deepwater Gulf of Mexico, the oil sands in Canada, Stockman in Russia, heavy oil in Brazil, and our recent gas acquisition in the U.S. all represent resources of long-term growth for Statoil Hydro. Going forward, as I already mentioned, our key focus will now be to mature these resources in an efficient and prudent way. I would like to highlight also another profile illustrated or aspect illustrated by the chart here, in just underlining that the resource base has an excellent risk profile with limited political risk, with approximately 75% of the resources within the OECD region, and the vast majority, as you see on the chart here, is still within conventional oil and gas plays. And the unconventional resources we have accessed lately have manageable technical risks and also has a good fit with our total capabilities in the company. A few words about strategy. And this is a strategy update, so that certainly signals the fact that there are no big changes in our strategy. The strategy remains firm and the direction is unchanged. The key element of our strategy is to continue to maximize the potential and the value of the Norwegian continental shelf. It is to continue to build international production growth and step by step and gradually also strengthen our position within renewables. And we are executing on the four strategic priorities that we communicated and launched last year at our Capital Markets Day. The Peregrino operatorship puts us in the lead in a major international offshore heavy oil projects where we can capitalize and utilize all of the skills, the technologies, and the concepts that we developed at the Norwegian Grane project. The Shtokman opportunity strengthens our position in the Arctic, building both on the Snøhvit experience and also on the Ormen Lange project. The Marcellus acquisition enables us to use our market competence and ability to commercialize gas resources, and Deepwater Gulf of Mexico 2009 will be the first year where we are operating our own exploration wells in Deepwater Gulf of Mexico. All of this is focusing on the fact that we are implementing on the strategic framework that we put forward last year. The Shtokman project and the Marcellus acquisition stem from our fundamental strategic belief of the competitiveness of gas longer term. Gas has many beneficial properties. It is clean with a low carbon footprint compared to alternatives, oil and coal. There is a well-developed infrastructure in attractive and liquid markets, and the liberalization of the gas markets allow us to capture additional value from our strong market position. Let me therefore, and on that basis, elaborate briefly on our unique gas position. You know that Statoil has been and still is the key industrial architect in developing the NCS into a gas machine, I would say, of global proportions. By end 2009, Norway will probably be the second-largest exporter of gas in the world. Statoil-Hydro alone supplies some 14% of the EU consumption, and only Gazprom is a bigger supplier. Step by step, we have expanded our gas position based on exactly the NCS experience we have developed over 40 years. Azerbaijan and Shah Deniz with sales and infrastructure to Turkey, a strategic step into LNG through the Snøhvit project, as well as the Cove Point receiving terminal in the U.S., the establishment of a strong foothold in North Africa, primarily in Africa, and finally, now also on the Shtokman project as well as the Marcellus. The Marcellus acquisition adds an important building block to the gas value chain position we have established in the U.S., the world's most liquid gas market. This is a significant step for us in strengthening our gas position, building on our existing capacity rights for the Cove Point LNG terminal, our gas trading and marketing organization, and the gas-producing assets we already have in the Gulf of Mexico. Beyond that, Marcellus represents significant resources and is a strategic fit for us, at least on three dimensions. It leverages our established gas value chain and marketing competence. It addresses the U.S. market, both as a domestic producer and also as an Atlantic LNG player. Over and above that, we also have the opportunity to look at global opportunities within unconventional gas together with Chesapeake outside the U.S. Let me then try to wrap up. It is a fact that our industry has long lead times, but I would say equally short memory. In periods of strong balance sheets, the industry have a poor track record of adapting fast to change. In the current environment, I believe that the risk consists of either ignoring or overreacting to the changes that we are facing. In the past, our industry's short-term response has often caused an over-response that has hampered the long-term development of our industry. and this is definitely this time not a part of Statoil-Hydro's strategy. However, on the other hand, I strongly believe that doing nothing would be a detrimental option. We have today, and we will continue to outline our response here today to you, and I firmly believe that we have taken necessary measures in order to steer through this short-term turmoil and to deliver on the long-term strategy. It is fair to reflect at this stage that we are a little bit more than 1 year into the merger, and we have come a long way in a short period of time. The first leg of the merger was to deliver on the execution side. That is still the priority, but beyond that, we also focus now strongly on maturing the resource base, turning projects, resources into projects, projects into profitable production. So the concluding remarks, if you will remember only three things from my presentation, it will be that we stick to our long-term strategy that we believe serve the company and the shareholders well. We will ensure financial flexibility on the short term, and we are committed to deliver on our dividend policy. So with those words, I thank you for the attention, and I would like now to introduce Eldar Sætre, the CFO of Statoil-Hydro, that probably do not need a lot of introduction. So the floor is yours, Eldar. Thank you.
Thank you, Helge, for this kind introduction, and good afternoon, everybody. I have to say it's really good to see so many of you here in London today, and it's only 1 year now, more or less exactly, since we had our first Capital Markets Day as a merged company, combined company. Quite a lot has happened since then, and 2008 has also been a very busy year for Statoil-Hydro. The merger and the integration process has been more or less completed, and successfully so. We have developed several new and quite important growth opportunities, and I have to say we have also quite recently been through a quite comprehensive planning process, preparing us for some rough and unstable conditions ahead of us. So Helge has now just given you the broader perspective, and I will elaborate on some of these issues in more detail, and obviously with a special attention to the financials. As you all know, should know, commodities are cyclical, very cyclical by nature. And this means that when the actually inevitable downturn hits the industry, this fact should come as no surprise to the management of any, I would say, prudent oil and gas company. And this basic understanding is fundamental to our strategy and our operations. Therefore, our main message today, as already conveyed, is that the strategy remains firm. We are well prepared for the current situation and for whatever might be the development over the next couple of years. First of all, we have consciously built ourselves a solid financial platform. Secondly, we are also benefiting from a very strong competitive position, both in terms of operating costs and financial returns that you have already seen. Thirdly, we have a robust portfolio of new business opportunities with substantial flexibility, and we will manage this portfolio and our cost base proactively and in line with the market realities. And finally, through this downturn, we will stay committed to our dividend policy. We are also well prepared to raise both short and long-term debt in order to secure a firm strategic direction and value creation through this cycle. So let me now turn to some of the characteristics of our project portfolio and also our CAPEX program. The industry has in recent years been focusing on production and resource growth backed by high and increasing energy prices. And this growth strategy, combined with a strict value focus, has also been the priority for our company. The merger, as you know, was mainly driven by growth, and Statoil Hydro is currently possessing a substantial, large portfolio of high-quality investment opportunities. Up until the financial crisis set in last fall, the main challenge was to secure access to sufficient capacity and also competence to mature these opportunities with quality. With the current uncertainties in the macro environment, I would say capital prioritization is vital, and portfolio flexibility is of high value if you take care of it. However, long lead times in the industry limit the flexibility somewhat in the short term. Most of the 2009 CAPEX are related to sanctioned projects and also operational investments, which is currently in the execution phase. Moving towards 2012, we see, however, significantly increasing CAPEX optionality, as you can see here, which is attributed to the non-sanctioned portfolio. A substantial share of this flexibility is also related to Statoil Hydro-operated projects, where we can quite strongly influence the timing of the execution. We are using this flexibility to ensure that Statoil Hydro remains financially robust against the potential deep and long crisis with low oil prices, as mentioned by Helge. We will also seek to capture values from a supplier market expected to soften going forward. In addition, we will allow more time to mature projects into higher quality at the decision point, and thereby also improving the basis for higher quality project execution. Over the last year, we have consistently built new growth positions within the four strategic platforms, as illustrated by Helge in his presentation. In addition to an extensive and also successful exploration program, we have also made some targeted acquisitions. And as you can see from this illustration, these efforts add up to a large and robust portfolio of non-sanctioned projects. The average break-even price at the current cost environment is slightly above $40 per barrel. And this will become even more robust, assuming a softening supplier market going forward. The current break-even prices vary, as you can see, significantly across the portfolio, from the time critical tie-in projects in the lower end, to the left here, to the more costly standalone developments at the high end. I should also mention that the concept of break-even prices in this context is defined as the oil price, where the net present value of the cash flows after tax is zero at our hurdle rate. The greatest flexibility in this portfolio is related to the largest projects, which is to the right, and also projects with the highest break-even prices, such as the oil sands in Canada. Within these exact areas, we will also benefit the most from postponement and an expected less heated cost environment going forward. Some of our longer-term growth positions will take somewhat more time to realize, but we are confident that our shareholders will benefit from higher value creation. And in the meantime, the growth prospects for 2012 remain intact. Then I would like to give you some more details of our CAPEX program. Actual capital expenditures for 2008 is expected to be in line with our previous guidance and equivalent to 12.5 $5 billion, excluding acquisitions. Including total acquisitions of approximately $3.5 billion, this adds up to around $16 billion in CapEx last year, and we will come back to the final numbers. As you can see, US dollar will now also be our preferred currency when guiding on capital expenditures and also exploration costs going forward, as this is reflecting the underlying currency in a much better way than Norwegian kroner is. In preparing for 2009 and also subsequent years, extensive prioritizations, as you've heard, have already been undertaken, and more will be done to the extent necessary. I can assure you that all projects that make sense to postpone from a value creation perspective will be delayed until the economic outlook is sufficiently favorable. Prioritizations that have been made include postponing non-sanctioned projects, high grading of operational investment, and also minimizing downstream investment in this context. And as a result of these efforts, the CapEx guiding for 2009 is maintained at approximately the same level, translated into $13.5 million, as we presented last year, despite that we have added some new capital requirements related to recent acquisitions. Upstream investments represent around 90% of our total CapEx, and this is split approximately 50-50 between the Norwegian Continental Shelf and our international E&P segment. Similarly, you can see that the investment in producing fields, that is to maintain production capacity, represents 35-40% of the CapEx, while new E&P field development constitutes around 50% of the total. 8 new projects are expected to come on stream in 2009, having an average break-even price of around $35 per barrel. Then I would like to move to our exploration program, and as mentioned by Helge, exploration is definitely considered to be our most precious growth tool, and we have stepped up exploration activity significantly since 2001-2002. Through successful exploration, we are confident we can still benefit from the super profit of this industry, which we still think is out there. In light of the current financial crisis, we are examining obviously all pockets of flexibility and potential savings. 10 years ago, our industry, I was there, so was Statoil and Hydro, massively cut their exploration efforts and consequently suffered from lack of project opportunities for many years. And I would say, based on this lesson and the long-term in itself nature of the industry, we consider it important to give priority to quality exploration through this downturn. However, and mainly as a consequence of the merger, we also see opportunities to do further high grading of our portfolio. So we therefore plan with an activity level approximately 15% lower than in 2008. And this goes for both the number of wells and the exploration spending phrased in US dollars. In 2008, we finalized 79 wells, which is approximately 10 wells more than we guided 1 year ago at this location. During this year, we plan to complete 65 to 70 wells, again split approximately 50-50 between the Norwegian Continental Shelf and the international operations. And we expect the exploration spending to be reduced from around $3.1 billion to $2.7 this year. Mentioned, we are well secured with rig capacity for 2009, and I could also add that the average rig rate will be around $350 per day for Statoil Hydro operated exploration activities. We avoided signing up new contracts on top of the cycle, and we are consequently well-positioned to benefit from what we expect to be a softening of the rig market going forward. Let me now address the production outlook for first 2009 and then 2012. We can now conclude that we have met our production guidance for 2008 of 1.9 million barrels per day. However, you still have to be a little bit patient and wait until the first fourth quarter announcement until you get the official numbers, audited numbers, to put it that way. And this result has been achieved because of a strong operational performance, and I would say despite issues like the Kvitebjørn pipeline incident and also the ACG in Azerbaijan gas leakage. In 2009, we estimate an equity production of 1,950,000 barrels per day, and there are some factors that you should be aware of when you consider this guidance. First of all, we are still working on the repair of the Kvitebjørn pipeline, and Kvitebjørn and Visund, which is tied up to it, are important producers for us, and the plan is to have the pipeline repaired within the first quarter of this year. And so far, the repair work is progressing quite well. Secondly, the ACG field in Azerbaijan will most likely be producing well below capacity due to the gas leakage that I mentioned from the central Azeri part of the ACG field. Thirdly, the contractual changes in Libya and also the mixed company structure in Venezuela will have full effect on our 2009 production. And finally, we will have a marginal contribution from Marcellus shale gas, while there are no further contribution from other acquisitions that will add to our 2009 production. The strict focus on improving the production regularity and the drilling efficiency will continue in 2009. Significant IOR efforts will also be continued. However, it is important to note that not all the short-term operational type of investments that would have been executed in the $100 framework will be carried out under the current environment and with the current uncertainty that we see ahead of us. In 2009, we have planned turnarounds with an effect on production of around 40,000 barrels per day, and this is marginally higher than we saw in 2008. Then all the factors that I've just mentioned, been through, they have been incorporated into the guiding that we give you for 2009. Then the guiding does not include or take into account any impact of whatever might be consequences of OPEC quotas or other kind of regulations that we cannot plan for. The outlook for 2012 equity production remains at 2.2 million barrels per day, and this equals an average 4% growth rate, annual growth rate over the period from 2008 to 2012. Although the growth rate in will vary somewhat from year to year. The estimated production is maintained, but the underlying assumptions have changed somewhat. During 2008, we acquired the shale gas position in the U.S., plus another 50% stake in the Peregrino field in Brazil. We also divested our shallow water assets in the U.S. Gulf of Mexico and some minor fields in the U.K. These transactions combined with the acquisitions and the divestments will have a net positive effect on the 2012 production. On the other hand, we have seen and will see the same negative effects from changes in the contractual terms that I mentioned for 2009. And because of a lower short-term oil price outlook, we expect to abandon or delay some marginal operational investments and also leave out the least profitable infill exploration opportunities. These measures and prioritizations are not material as such, but they will have a slightly negative impact on the decline rate. Average decline rate on the total portfolio of producing assets, both oil and gas, Norwegian continental shelf and internationally, is estimated at around 5%. To sum up 2012, we see a stronger picture from the net of the transactions that we have made, but on the other hand, some negative impact from the current market, combined with more uncertainty in general when moving into the next 3 to 4 years. Our forecast is slightly more robust than we saw last year, but adding together all of these factors that I mentioned, we do not find enough reason to adjust our guidance. Then a few comments also to the PSA, as it's called, impact. As usual, we guide on the impact of production sharing agreements. This is the long version, to provide you with insight into the difference between equity volumes, which is the basis for our guidance, and the entitlement production volumes. PSA effect is, as you know, a government take, and consequently, what I would say is a taxation in kind. Higher PSA volumes is reflecting higher earnings, higher oil or gas prices, and not our operational performance. Our guidance is therefore still based on equity volumes, which is consistent with the volumes that we can control as such, and also what the volumes that is reflected in our cost base. Currently, the production in Azerbaijan, Algeria, Angola, Libya, and Nigeria are subject to PSAs, and they represent approximately 80% of our total volumes in 2009. Outside of the Norwegian continental shelf. Over time, that percentage is reduced to around 60% in 2012 as the production in places like Gulf of Mexico, Brazil and Canada are increasing. And just to repeat, PSA effects are irreversible in the sense that if you are reaching one new tranche of production sharing and this has been triggered, then a falling oil price will not reverse that development. However, lower oil prices in the future means that it will take longer time before the next tranche is triggered. As an illustration, based on a $50 per barrel oil price, the impact on the 2009 entitlement production is expected to be around 140,000 barrels per day. Should the oil price become $75 per barrel, the PSA effect in this year increases to around 165,000 barrels per day and to 195 at an oil price of $100 per barrel. I should also mention that we foresee a lower PSA effect in 2009 this year compared to 2008. The impact last year is expected to be around 175,000 to 180,000 barrels per day. Going beyond 2008, the aggregate effects are not materially exposed to oil price changes, as illustrated by the light blue bar on this graph for 2012. I will now move on to address our operating costs. Come back to the merger synergies and also some other additional cost savings. And let me start by just confirming the obvious fact that cost discipline is very high on the agenda throughout the organization and is driven vigorously from the whole executive committee into all our different business areas. Strict decision criteria, formal approvals, and mandates are forcefully implemented, also related to administrative and operating costs. When it comes to the unit production cost, I should first remind you that we charge the relevant merger restructuring costs as a one-off charge to the production cost in the fourth quarter of 2007. And this has, of course, impacted the 12-month rolling average as we have moved into 2008. Our guidance excludes this non-recurring element, and in addition, we are excluding the purchase of gas for reinjection purposes. At the Capital Markets Day last year, we said that our unit production cost was expected to increase somewhat from 2007 to 2008, and then to stabilize in the range of 33 to 36 Norwegian kroner per barrel. And in this case, we maintain Norwegian kroner as the guiding currency. In the third quarter of 2008, we had a 12-month rolling average of around 33 Norwegian kroner per barrel. This year, we expect to stay within this range, the guiding range as we have given, although most likely at the higher, in the upper part of this range. And the main reason for this is that we have quite a few new large fields in a ramp-up phase, and or in phase where they are preparing for production. And we also have some fields like the Kvitebjørn and the ACJ, which is not producing at full capacity. In addition, there will be a high degree of maintenance activities during 2009, as well as some uncertainty around the Norwegian krona development versus US dollar. On this graph, I've also included an illustration from PFC Energy, comprising actually 28 companies, demonstrating that we have been able consistently to maintain a first quartile operating cost position over many, many years. We will continue to maintain such a position despite the upward trend that the industry and also we are faced with. Let me then comment on the merger synergies and the status of that. During the 15 months now since the merger, a broad range of programs have been implemented to capture the value potential. We see good progress within all main areas, such as the downsizing process, the review of our procurement strategy and process, IT standardization, the implementation of best practice, and also many other initiatives like elimination of all kind of double functions, etc. And currently around 50% of the potential has been realized. We are on track to deliver at least 6 billion Norwegian kroner, as some new additional initiatives have also been identified. Almost 1,500 onshore employees accepted early retirement in phase one, and that process is now completed. The restructuring principles for phase two, that is at our onshore and offshore operating plans, have now also been concluded, and this redefined and reduced organization will be gradually implemented from mid 2009. And an important additional benefit from this process is that is the full standardization of all work processes across all our 40 Statoil Hydro operating plants on the Norwegian continental shelf. The process of standardizing IT systems is 75% completed, and we expect to have almost all IT convergence completed by the end of this year. Statoil Hydro's combined procurement volume in 2008 was more than 100 billion Norwegian kroner. We see that significant value can be extracted from standardization, from economies of scale, and also more efficient use of contract in general. And this has been clearly demonstrated, particularly within drilling, well activities and logistics so far. We are reviewing and redesigning systematically all procurement categories and are now 50% complete on this journey. As mentioned, there is also a large potential from applying best practices on a lot of areas from both companies, and we have seen very good results from this, where we have systematically approached both the drilling practices and also maintenance planning and maintenance execution, as mentioned by Helge. The potential from exploration high grading is also significant, as demonstrated further in our 2009 guiding. We have made several drill or drop decisions during 2008, resulting in cancellation of several wells, and around 25 licenses of lower value have been relinquished as a part of this cleanup. Finally, optimizing the tax position is also an important part of any merger process, I guess. We have already benefited significantly from consolidating our different tax positions in several countries, actually. These benefits come in addition to the 6 billion value capture program that I've just been through. We expect that the main part of the synergy potential from the merger will be captured by the end of this year, and then we will come back to you again with a new status report. The current macro environment, combined with the significant uncertainties related to future market development, has also led to some additional and further cost reduction initiatives. We are using this opportunity, as mentioned by Helge, as a forceful and motivating event towards the organization to reduce administrative cost components in particular even further beyond what is captured in the merger synergies. This includes more efficient business development activities at a lower level, lower IT development costs, lower corporate center costs, sales costs, and also reduction of administrative costs in general. This program adds up to approximately 1.5 billion Norwegian kroner annually net to Statoil Hydro and represents on average approximately 10% of the relevant cost base that we are talking about here. I would now like to give some comments to our financial situation and preparedness. My first point on this issue is that Statoil Hydro's financial position is strong. This favorable starting position enables us to maintain our long-term business strategy through the downturn. We are prepared for various scenarios over the next few years, including both significantly worse conditions and also more optimistic developments than we are currently experiencing. We have consistently delivered a competitive dividend since 2001. Our dividend policy is unchanged and firm, which means that we will continue to deliver 45%-50% of net earnings to our shareholders over time. As underlined by Helge, we are fully committed to this policy. And through a high focus on cost and capital discipline, we will strengthen the company's ability to pay a competitive dividend in accordance with this policy. The board's proposal for 2008 dividend will, as usual, and is planned to be announced in connection with our fourth quarter announcement. So again, you have to be a little bit patient. The combination of a currently low oil price and the uncertainties on commodities going forward, a high quality CapEx and exploration program, and a commitment to our dividend policy means that we are prepared to raise new debt during the first half of this year. We are confident that our solidity, the balance sheet, and our rating enables access to funding in the financial markets. We will shortly update our EMCN program and also other relevant documentations as a concrete example of the execution of this plan. Given our expected cash generation and the planned CapEx program for 2009, we are cash neutral, to use that phrase, at around $55 per barrel this year. And this, again, to be precise, is defined as the point where operating cash flow after tax and before dividend is equal to our CapEx program. So let me now summarize our guidance. And I would like to start with a few comments to the fourth quarter of 2008. The overall operations in the fourth quarter have been good, and oil and gas production has largely been as expected. And our net operating income will obviously be influenced by the lower oil price environment. In addition, the fourth quarter will also be particularly influenced by the strong US dollar versus Norwegian kroner. As you know, we have all of our debt, both short and long-term debt, in US dollars. We also have swap positions connected to our liquidity management, which are marked to market every quarter and generating non-cash P&L accounting volatility. As the change in the US dollar versus Norwegian kroner has been around 20% during the quarter, the negative impact of these unrealized currency losses will be quite considerable, and the average tax rate will also be impacted negatively and substantially from this development on the financial items. And the effects are expected to be in line with the guiding that we have communicated to you earlier. Then to the other components. Briefly, equity production in 2009 is estimated at 1.950 million barrels per day. Equity production in 2012 is maintained at 2.2 million barrels. We estimate to spend 13.5 billion in capex and 12.7 billion in 2.7 billion in on exploration activity this year, and the unit production cost will stay in the range of 33 to 36 Norwegian kroner per barrel. To conclude my presentation and summarize how we will manage through this downturn while safeguarding our long-term growth strategy, I would like to emphasize the following key messages. First of all, we have a very good starting point in terms of a solid financial starting position. And we have a strong and competitive performance both on operating costs and on financial returns. We have a robust portfolio with significant flexibility, and we are using this flexibility. This means that we delay projects and optimize our CapEx program. We high-grade our exploration program, and we reduce all relevant cost components on top of the merger synergies. We are committed to our dividend policy. Through a strict cost and capital discipline, we will strengthen our dividend capacity, and we have concrete plans to raise debt to the extent necessary. And finally, we maintain our production growth for 2012. That concludes my presentation. Thank you for the attention, and then I leave the word back to Lars to lead us through the Q&A session.